hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Well, I want to start out by asking you guys a question tonight. And that question is this: what do you think is the thing that is most holding you back in your life right now? What is the thing that is keeping you from becoming who God made you to be? Because for a lot of us, we could have a number of things that feel like they're holding us back. I mean, maybe it's a lack of money that feels like it's holding us back, or maybe it's problems with our health or problems with our relationship, or maybe you've just simply had it up to here with your workmate who keeps taking your favorite parking spot every day. Whatever, yeah, that's right. Whatever it is, these are the sorts of things that could be making you feel like they are holding you back. And don't get me wrong, stuff like this can be quite challenging to deal with at times. But I want to talk to you guys tonight about something that I feel is most likely an issue that's a lot bigger of a problem for most of us. This something has the potential to hold us back from becoming who we really are in almost every area of our life. And if we don't do something drastic about it, it will rob us of the abundant life that Jesus promised that we should have. This robber, this great destroyer of dreams and lives throughout history, it has a name. It's called fear. Fear is your greatest enemy. Fear will put you into a prison every single time, and it will do so by asking just one simple question. What if? What if they don't like me? What if I can't get a job with this degree that I've been studying for? What if my kid goes on a camping trip and falls off their bicycle? What if my parents get sick and die? What if she says, "Nah, sorry, I'm just not really into guys with beards." Whew, it's reassuring. Now the question, what if, has the power to stop you in your tracks and keep you from becoming the best version of yourself, the version of yourself that God intended for you to be when he knit you together inside your mother's womb. But I've got good news for you guys tonight, because although fear is like a sickness to our soul, God has a cure for this sickness. It's called trust. The battle of your emotions, the battle of your walk with God, and the battle of your life is a battle between trust and fear. And in every decision that you make, no matter what you're doing, you are either moving towards trust in God or you're moving towards fear. And you can only live in one or the other. Now, there's many ways in which this battle can play itself out in our lives. But as we wrap up our series this evening called Prayer for Life, I want to take a look with you guys at part of the Lord's Prayer that is found in Matthew chapter 6 and explore what it looks like for us as the church to trust God as our provider. Because when we come to him in prayer and when we trust him to meet our needs rather than trying to meet them within our own strength, it sets us free from fear. Does anybody want to be free from fear tonight? I can't hear you guys. Great. So, if you're just joining in for the first time tonight, we've been exploring over the last couple of weeks a passage that's been looking at the Lord's Prayer. And what the Lord's Prayer teaches us is how we are supposed to pray. And last week we talked about how there are three main components to this prayer and that together they make up a delicious prayer sandwich that we are meant to enthusiastically enjoy. Now, a couple weeks ago, Jonty shared about the top bun of this sandwich, on how we have to come before God and acknowledge the fact that he is our Father and he is holy. Then last week, I shared with you about the delicious middle of our sandwich, which is all about submission, that we can't expect God to bend to our will, but then when we come to him in prayer, we have to adopt an attitude that says, "Not my will be done, but your will be done." And tonight, I want to share with you the final ingredient that we must have to fully enjoy this prayer sandwich. Because as the famous chef Chelsea Winters once wisely said, if you have the right recipe, anyone can cook a delicious meal for their friends and family. So how do you guys feel about making Chelsea proud and cooking up something tasty tonight? The last ingredient that we need to have for us to enjoy this sandwich of a Lord's Prayer is dependence. Dependence is different than submission, like we talked about last week. Because submission is where you say to God, not my will, but your will be done. Dependence is where you say to God, I need you to provide for me because I cannot provide for myself. One involves laying something down, the other involves picking something up. We have to do both in order to follow him. Now, you may have noticed from my accent that I'm from America. And there's many, many differences between the culture of New Zealand and the culture of America, mostly around our feelings about guns and who we elect to our highest political offices. But one thing that we definitely have in common between our two cultures is our shared love of independence. We love to be independent. We love to have our own car. We love to have our own house. We love to be able to choose what we want to do with our lives when we want to do it. Thank you very much. And we love to be independent because if we're honest, really, we love to be in control. Or perhaps, on the flip side, we hate the feeling of being out of control. And for the same reason, getting to a place of dependence on God can be hard for us. And it can also be hard for us to admit to ourselves or to others that we have needs. But God made us to have wants and needs, not so that they would be something that makes us hungry when they go unmet, but so that he could bring us great satisfaction when we depend upon him to meet those needs himself. And when we trust God and we pray for him to meet our needs, it sets us free from fear. So, if we are to depend upon God to meet our needs, well, then what sorts of ways does God provide for us? Now, the answer to this question can be found in the way that Jesus invites us to pray in our passage that we've been looking at. And specifically, I want to tell you guys about three different ways in which God provides for us. So why don't you take a look with me at Matthew chapter 6. We're just going to look at verse 9. And you'll see that it reads, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." And here's the key part. "Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So the first of these three provisions that are shown by this passage is where it says, "Give us today our daily bread." And we could call this the provision to live satisfied. And what this means is that God will bring what we need for today, because you may notice that it does not say, "Give us today our daily bread," for the next 20 years or so. Now, if God wanted to entrust you with that, then great, there's probably a good reason for it. But that is not what this prayer is. This prayer is a humble request for today's needs to be met. Nothing more, nothing less. And the reason that God asks us to bring our requests to him in this way, rather than trying to get them answered ourselves, is because only he knows how to provide what we need when we need it, and also in the right measure. Because after all, any parent will tell you that although a handful of Maltesers may bring their kid some measure of joy, seven boxes of the stuff won't once their kid starts throwing up. Parents, am I right? God knows our physical needs, and he knows our limitations. And that's why he knows how to give us what we need when we need it. And that's not to say that God is not extremely generous, because he really genuinely is. And oftentimes he's generous not only with the big needs of our life, but even down to some of the small wants that you almost might think would go beyond his notice. I mean, one thing that you guys might not know about me is that I am really, really passionate about toasted sandwiches. To me, an untoasted sandwich versus a toasted sandwich is a bit like when you go to the restaurant and they ask if you want your chicken to be grilled or fried. Both are good options, and I mean, one is probably healthier than the other, but deep down, you know which one I really want. So I love toasted sandwiches. And one day, a couple of years ago, I was at a cafe, and I ordered a sandwich, and they offered to toast it for me, to which, of course, I said yes. And as they were toasting my sandwich in this machine and pressing it down to a golden perfection, you guys, I was just standing there looking at this, and I just went, oh, man, I really want to have one of these things. I mean, think about it. If I had my own sandwich toaster, I could have toasted sandwiches anytime I wanted. Better yet, I could share the joy of crispy bread with all my friends. That's you guys. And so I could have went out and I could have bought a sandwich toaster, which is kind of the logical thing to do when you want something that bad, right? But I decided instead to do a little bit of an experiment. I decided that instead of going out and buying one, I would begin to pray and ask God to give me a sandwich toaster. And so I began to labor in prayer over many weeks and many months with no sign of the breakthrough that I was so desperate to receive. You know, I'd walk through the section at the warehouse where they had all the new and the shiny sandwich toasters, and you guys, it was like walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, I could almost hear Satan's voice right here in my ear saying, oh, go ahead, just buy one. God would want you to be happy, right? So this drama goes on for 2 years. 2 years of untoasted sandwiches and waiting on God to answer my desperate prayers. And I have to be honest, you guys. After a while, I started to believe that maybe I would never have a sandwich toaster. You could say that the dream, like my untoasted sandwiches, had gone cold. But then, out of the blue, at 1:26 p.m. on the 1st of September, I got a message from the Lord's servant, Stephen McConaughey, on Facebook. And you guys are not going to believe what it said. Take a look. Hey, do you guys want one of these? Yes! Yes, please! I finally had the answer to my prayers, and the McConaughey's generously gave me this sandwich toaster free of charge. And you know what? That sandwich toaster has been sitting in my office here at the church ever since. And so now, every week, I enjoy toasted sandwiches, I enjoy toasted wraps, and you'll be pleased to know I even enjoy the occasional toasted muffin. My friends, I have truly entered the promised land. You know, sometimes the other staff around here make fun of me because of the way that I have a sandwich toaster in my office, but you can tell when I start eating that sandwich that's toasted to golden perfection that really it's mostly because they're just a little bit jealous. The point of all of this is that through this experience, I learned that God is a good father who gives very generously and who gives with a smile on his face. And that's because provision isn't something that God does. Provision is who God is. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. So that's the provision to live satisfied. Then we have the provision to live free. Now, a lot of people skip out on this one, mostly because they don't actually realize that it's available to them. Because when it says, forgive us our debts, this is speaking of the weight that sin puts upon us emotionally and spiritually. You know, I've met a number of people over the years who live under a crushing weight of shame. And when challenged on it, they will sometimes say things like, well, I deserve to feel ashamed for the ways in which I've lived my life. Which could almost sound noble until you realize that actually we deserve a lot worse for our sin. But God didn't come as a man, get whipped until his skin was shredded, hang on a cross, rise from the dead, so that we could keep on living as if his blood is not enough to pay for the debt of our sins. And a key part of God's provision for you is that he has provided a sacrifice for your sin. The sacrifice is Jesus. That sacrifice is good enough to not only pay your bill, it's also enough to clean your conscience as well. And my friends, this is very important for you to get a hold of this provision of God. Because if you feel dirty, you will live your life dirty. But if you feel clean on the inside, then you're not going to want to go rolling around in the mud again. Which brings us to our last provision, the provision to live with integrity. This part of the prayer, where it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, speaks of the grace to be led by the Spirit of God away from sin, so that once you've been washed free of sin, you can stay clean. And if you are finding that you are having a hard time staying away from sin, then my question for you tonight is, how often are you praying this prayer? Because there is a provision for God's grace for you so that you can live differently from the world around you. And that doesn't mean, you guys, that it's always easy to do that. But it does mean that it's possible. Guys, with so much fakeness and disappointment out there, the world needs to see something authentic when they look at Christians. And fear and shame will rob us of that authenticity. But when you get to a place where you can trust God and pray for him to meet your needs, your physical ones, your spiritual ones, your emotional ones, it sets you free from fear and shame. And when you get free of that stuff, you'll be able to live as the very best version of yourself. The version of yourself that God intended for you to be when he dreamed a dream called you. Will you guys stand with me? Have Ben come on up. So, in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and have a conversation with God. But maybe you're here tonight and you have an area in your life where fear and shame feel like they're holding you back. Maybe you have a physical need right now and you really need God to break in and provide for you. Maybe you're struggling tonight with feelings of shame over what the world has told you that you are not, and you want to come and bring that to God tonight. Or maybe there's an area of your life where you feel like God is inviting you to take a risk and step out of the boat, but you just feel so afraid of all of these what ifs that could happen if you make that decision. And wherever you are tonight, I want to issue an invitation for you come before your good and kind Father tonight. Let's take a moment. Let's close our eyes. And I want to invite you to surrender whatever fears you might have carried in with you this evening. I want you to ask God to visit you right now as a provider. Go ahead and take a moment and just talk to him. I'm just sensing, standing here tonight, that there's some things that even now the Spirit of God is beginning to tug upon your heart. And some things that you actually know you need to let go of. Because they are robbing you of being who you truly are. And it can feel really hard tonight to open up our hands and to let go of those things. But if that's you tonight, I just want to encourage you that when we lay something down, it's not a loss. Because when we lay the things that are weighty of this world down, it's because God wants us to pick up something that's far better. So Lord, I pray tonight for those who are feeling that tugging even now by your Spirit. They're feeling that pull, oh, I need to let this go. I need to surrender this to God. I need to depend upon my Father again. I don't want to keep living independent. So Holy Spirit, I ask right now for a fresh wind to blow in this place. I pray for a fresh grace to be able to live faithfully, to be able to live not according to what the world says we should do or how we should live or who we are supposed to be, but to live according to who you say we are. And Lord, even as we go back into this time of singing, Lord, I pray that you would set us free from fear and shame. And that you would whisper to our hearts again how much you so dearly love us, your children. We love you tonight, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.